Welcome to the Binge Eating to Food Freedom podcast with Katie Papo. Our mission is to share the simplest and most peaceful system for food freedom in the world with people who suffer from binge eating, food addiction, and compulsive overeating. We're here to show that with the right strategy and support, any committed, coachable, and resourceful individual can feel peaceful and free with food.
Good morning. Hello, hello. Katie here, and welcome to another episode of the From Binge Eating to Food Freedom podcast. And today, what I'm going to do is actually read something that I wrote, gosh, this was last year around this time. And this writing was to help explain our approach to sugar addiction and food addiction. We've worked with many, many people with sugar addiction who have self-proclaimed, you know, long-time sugar addictions of many years, whether it's to lattes or cookies or baked goods or candy, and we've really heard and seen it all, and also to other foods as well. So what I wanted to do here is address why we treat food addiction and sugar addiction very differently than the abstinent approaches that you'll see with drug addiction, alcohol addiction, things like that. So I'm going to take some time right now to read that to you. I'll read it to you as smoothly as I can. And I hope that you find it helpful. So here we go. I accidentally removed myself. Hope you guys don't mind if you are watching me on camera, I will be reading. So if you see my eyes moving around, that's why. So here we go. I've seen some lively debates lately over treating food addiction the same way you treat alcohol or drug addictions. And here I'll do my best to explain why we don't treat food addiction the same way as abstinence with drugs or alcohol and what we do instead. So the way I see it, the root sensations between all addictions boil down to two primary feelings that people have. Number one is compulsion. Number two is obsession. So the compulsion, right? That's the need, the feeling like the urge, I need to do this now. And the obsession is I can't stop thinking about it. So all addictions will boil down to the combination of compulsion and obsession. So really, it's not necessarily about the object of the addiction. So it's not about the food or the alcohol, et cetera, but rather it's the compulsive or the obsessive feeling that you associate with that object. So keeping that in mind, it's smart to choose the best treatment or healing protocol for yourself based on what you want your life to look like on the other side of this addiction. So for example, abstinence, that's a very popular protocol that can be effective for drug and alcohol addiction because you don't actually need drugs or alcohol to survive or thrive. Therefore, it makes sense, right, to cut them out completely since on the other side, the goal is to be sober for most people, right? So you know what you want to look like on the other side. So therefore, the goal is sobriety. But what about other addictions that have more gray areas, right? Because let's look at something other than food for now. Let's look at sex addiction, okay? Not everyone has the goal to be abstinent from sex or to live a sexless life. That might not be what they want their life to look like on the other side. Instead, some people might prefer to cultivate a healthier relationship with sex. So that way they can still have sex in their life, but without the compulsiveness or the obsessiveness around it, without the addictive feeling around it. So therefore, they're going to use a different protocol than someone who wants to be completely abstinent from sex for the rest of their life. Does that make sense? So food is, in my opinion, a similar addiction where there's that gray area. And it's unique because not only does it have many gray areas, but it's also... food is absolutely necessary for survival. We have to eat. And not only that, but we have to eat multiple times a day. So while some methods promote abstinence from food, I don't see this as being the most effective long term because, first of all, it still leaves behind that disordered relationship with eating. Okay, so the only circumstance where this could potentially be a somewhat plausible solution that could last is if you're really only addicted to like one specific food. And if you feel like you can successfully cut that food out for your whole life, then you'll have no other eating issues. But for most people, that's not the case from what I've seen. And also most people don't want to cut out foods for their entire life. They ideally would want to have a healthier relationship with food. So this idea of cutting a food out of your life completely, even if let's entertain that idea and let's decide, okay, I do want to cut out, let's say, sugar from my life completely for the rest of my life, and I'm going to go the abstinent approach. Even that can get tricky. So I'm going to use sugar right now as an example. So, and I'm using this as an example, not only because I hear it a lot, but I also used to consider myself to be highly addicted to sugar. So when I was younger, I worked in a bakery and I was around sweets all the time. And the more I was around them, the more I wanted them. And I read how sugar is chemically addictive for the brain. So I was convinced that the only way to really stop myself from eating sugar was to practice abstinence. So at that point, I really became the queen of sugar detoxes, 30-day sugar-free challenges, and I would recruit all my friends for accountability to help me be abstinent from sugar. Then as I started doing this, I started to discover all of the gray areas. Okay, so one gray area, what about fruit? Should I cut out the ones higher in sugar? Then it took me to, well, what about fresh fruit versus dry fruit? Surely those things are different. Then another gray area, what about bread? Doesn't white flour act like sugar in the body? Next one, next gray area, what about packaged foods with small amounts of sugar? What about glucose versus fructose versus dextrose versus sucrose? More gray areas. What if I'm out and I don't even know if a food contains sugar? Another gray area. What about my birthday? Should I not eat cake on my birthday? Another gray area. What if I accidentally eat something with sugar and I don't even know until after? Another gray area. What about other foods that I binge on? If I don't eat sugar, won't I just binge more on other things? So there's a lot of gray there. So even if I wasn't eating sugar, I was still obsessed with sugar. I still had to constantly think about it to make sure I didn't violate my rules. Some of the rules I wasn't even sure, since there was so much gray, what they were. And on top of that, I was still binging on other things, making up for the fact that I couldn't binge anymore on sugar. So when you're operating from this black and white sort of abstinence mentality for something that actually has a lot of gray area, it can become very difficult to enforce, especially to enforce long-term, especially to enforce for a lifetime. And what we're always talking about here is longevity, right? How to make your freedom last a lifetime. And most people don't want to forever tell themselves no around things like eating birthday cake, or maybe you're on vacation, you get a little chocolate under your pillow. It comes up a lot, and it's hard to say no every time for life, especially when there's all this gray area. So since it can get complicated to enforce abstinence with food, most people, what happens is they end up with a very long list of rules that might help to fight the compulsion or the urge to eat in some degree, but it definitely may not, I don't want to say definitely, it may not help with the obsession part. And in a lot of cases, it can actually make the obsession worse, because if you actively have to avoid something in order to succeed, then you need to be hyper aware of when that thing is around. I'm just going to say that one more time because that's an important piece. If you have to actively avoid something to succeed, then you need to be hyper aware of when it's around. You have to be thinking about that thing in order to avoid it. So that in itself can make the obsession stronger. So even if you're not eating the sugar, you're still giving so much energy toward it that eventually you might drive yourself right back to eating it. So for our clients, this is often part of the problem, is they don't want to obsess anymore over food, period, right? They want to be able to have a snack and enjoy it and then be done with it and move on with their lives. And that's what we're talking about here. When you're dealing with an addiction, you need a strategy that will legitimately work for your entire life, depending on what your vision for your life is. So if you want to eat what you want without it being a big deal, abstinence isn't going to be the path for you. And I do feel, before moving on, that I should address the understanding that sugar is chemically addictive. And I know that a lot of you are thinking this. Now, we found that, at least with our process, it really doesn't matter if a food has chemically addictive properties or not. And in the past, I found myself feeling addicted to sugar, but also to pizza, right? And fried foods and chips. There are addictive components to many, many, many different foods and drinks out there. It would be impossible for us to even list them all. Sugar is the tip of the iceberg. And what we found is that those chemically addictive properties are not going to, they're not going to be the make or break of the addiction itself, because there's, if we were to look at it zoomed out, there's a lot more going on than just that piece. And I'll give you a personal example. So I used to not be able to eat cookies without binging. Okay. Now I can eat cookie. I can eat a cookie. I can eat a half a cookie without any problems. There's no issue at all. So the sugar content of the cookies were not what changed, were they? Right. The sugar is exactly the same. It affects my brain the exact same way. Right. I changed. Okay. The sugar content is irrelevant. So even if I have a craving, and even if you have a craving, it's not going to be more powerful than your freedom to choose. And I've also seen very similar things happen while working with many other self-proclaimed food addicts or sugar addicts who joined us in our program, who believed wholeheartedly that one bite of that cookie would turn into a disaster. And we've seen again and again, even just after a few weeks of working together, it's very common for these exact same people to be able to enjoy just some of a dessert and feel satisfied without even wanting more. So within our own food freedom system, we don't focus on eliminating the food itself completely. Instead, what we focus on eliminating is the compulsion and the obsession that's associated with the food. Right? Because the food's going to be the same, but our reaction to it, the compulsion and the obsession feelings we have around it, that's the part that needs to shift. So instead of, where are we? Therefore, it doesn't matter what the particular food is, because you're dealing with the compulsion and the obsession regardless. So instead of focusing on abstinence, we focus on cultivating a peaceful relationship with food. Beneath food addiction is a dysfunctional and unhealthy relationship with food, not peace. So by cultivating a peaceful, more effortless relationship with food, the compulsion and the obsession will naturally fall away. So this is not an aggressive process. This is not trying to push out the compulsion or the obsession. Instead, it's inviting in more peace and relaxation and calm around your reactions to food. Okay. So it's not an aggressive process. In fact, the more you practice, the more relaxed you should feel. That's how you know it's working. And once you understand that it's not about the food, but rather about you and the compulsion and the obsession that you feel in yourself, you're going to have many more options for your healing. Okay. You're not going to need to make 50 rules about what foods you can and can't have based on what your willpower is like that day. Instead, you're focused on creating long-term changes within yourself in your reactions and your relationship with food. It's a much more holistic way of looking at it. So contrary to what I used to believe, food is not a more difficult addiction to solve than drugs or alcohol. And I'm guessing that just that statement alone will anger or upset some people who are thinking, you're wrong. I quit alcohol and it was way easier than quitting food. And that's exactly what I'm saying. Maybe quitting food isn't the right approach for you. Maybe abstinence was appropriate for the other addiction, but if it's not working for food as well, then that's a sign not that you're broken, but that there might be a better approach elsewhere. We work with people who feel addicted to food, but they also know that cutting out entire foods or food groups for life won't work for them long term. And they know that because they've tried it already, often multiple times, by making rules or following diets or using willpower to say no. And if that's you and it hasn't been working, you might be a good candidate for our program, which I can talk a little bit about now. So if you're interested in learning more about it, we do use a unique blend of neuroplasticity and mindfulness principles to help people transform their compulsive and obsessive relationship with food to one that's more peaceful and calm and more relaxed. And we help to train it into your muscle memory and even into your subconscious thinking through repetition and consistent practice. And we found this to be a very peaceful process, especially compared to creating and trying to enforce food rules. And I explain this more in my other writings, but the bottom line is we take a few weeks to train you in the basics. We focus on the practice aspect after, so that way your new relationship with food becomes more and more deeply ingrained into your brain as you go. And most people will describe this process as healing, okay? Not hard, healing, which is what we're going for. So if you'd like to learn how to work more with yourself instead of against yourself, to end the food addiction, to progress in your food freedom, you're most welcome to reach out and see if our immersion program can help you. And even beyond that, we have so many free resources. We have a free training program that's available on my website, katiepapo.com/free-training. You can take that immediately now and start to notice the shifts for yourself. So either way, this is going to be a life-changing process just to start moving into this realm of progress, into this realm of creating more peace, rather than going in the same loop of trying to cut something out and then failing and then cutting something out and then failing and binging again. So if that hasn't been working for you, I invite you to open your mind to other possibilities, see what's out there available for you. And if we can help you along the way, we're going to be there to do it. All right, guys, I hope that you found this helpful today. I'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you soon.